CliffCentral.com.
Let us turn our attention to such a fantastic human being. I'm pleased to see her again. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Right?
She's here. It seems the only time I see you is on a Showmax ad or when you're in my studio anymore.
Did you get it for 99 rand a month?
Do you know what I did?
Over 20,000 titles.
I was persuaded by you.
Oh, I'm glad it was me and not what's his face. Jack Barra.
No, you were great. Samizi's also
Christian Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, Samizi. I think Samizi does.
Samizi's on the DSTV one.
You're thinking Patricia Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patricia Lewis is on what? DSTV as well.
Is
really?
She?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're all interchangeable nowadays. Just get.
So DSTV, I'm waiting for my call. Patricia is there.
But this, the Showmax is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And I like it. And I generally do watch a lot of TV.
I'm watching a lot of TV.
Did you watch Billions?
Did I watch?
Billions.
Oh.
No.
Gareth,
I see everyone on my timeline is talking about that show.
Do you know it's the guy from Homeland? And I know you watch Homeland because it's right up your alley. What's his face? Daniel Lewis.
Right.
Before that, he was in Life. He is really good. He is a problem waiting to happen. I'm telling you now. He might get an Oscar before old Leo does.
He's shame, poor Leo. And certainly before any black people at the Oscars this year.
Oscars are so white. I'm like, come on, guys. Compton, you didn't nominate straight out of Compton? Come on.
I love the way Compton gets nominated, but the two people nominated are white.
Are white. And there's another one. There was another set.
Oh, my God.
That's some other person, and it was also a black movie, and then the white... No, Stallone. Stallone from
Creed.
He's the only white guy in
right.
Creed.
That's right. And it's called Creed. And Creed doesn't get nominated.
Look, okay, it's fine. You can give Stallone. He's on his way out, so, I mean, just give it to him.
Listen, is this Alake?
That's Alake Lizwe.
Wow.
How calm?
I've heard a lot about Alake Lizwe.
He's really calm, this one. No, really. That
is a very cute little kid.
Thank you.
And I would tell you if you had an ugly baby.
I know you would. You've done it to people before. And Jack was. No, I know.
But wow.
He is. And my buddy just held him now. And then she's like, oh, does he like people? I'm like, you know what? He's indifferent. He doesn't like people. He doesn't hate people. He doesn't care about people.
But you have, I said this to you a while ago on the phone. You've taken to this motherhood thing very, very easily. Like, you've just slid into it. It's been... like changing clothes for you.
Well, you're not supposed to change much, right? I don't know.
Because I've seen a lot of mothers that they have a kid and their whole life changes. They change their friends. They don't do things they used to do. They start doing things they never did.
No, madness. You know, the one thing, I remember when I was pregnant, I was like 8 months pregnant, and then we went to the movies, myself and my boyfriend. And then, like, I tweeted, ooh, we're about to watch a movie. Someone's like, you better enjoy it now, because you're not going to be watching movies when the baby's here. Bullshit. So I was like, why? Don't they allow mothers in cinemas? What's going on? And I just get that people are very obsessed with their children, which is great, because, like, I like my child, but I don't like my child all the time. So when I leave to go to work, I miss work. But then when I leave work to go home, I miss my child.
Sure.
So, like, I'm not attached to him. You're me, I groove. I like him, I must just wait.
No, but you've always been balanced about this stuff. You've never been the kind of person who... you were so committed, dedicated, and obsessed with your career that you didn't have a life outside of it.
Yeah,
and you were never someone who was so crazy and having such a party and living
that
your life out,
that
you didn't take a serious job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's really been... I have to say grounding, because I like going home a lot. But now, before, you're like, ooh, what kind of course I can have a quick drink before I go home? Now I'm like, ooh, let me just go watch TV and sit with this one. Although, like, 10 minutes in, it's probably going to annoy me. And I'll be like, Florence, come get him.
So Florence is who?
I like his nanny.
Oh, thank God for Florence.
But Florence used to be my helper when I was like a spring chicken.
Really?
Yeah, she's been with me since I was 24 and I'm 31
now.
So then when I was pregnant, she was like, oh, am I going to take care of the child? And I was like, of course you can. And then she just became full time.
Well, you see, you need that, though.
Yeah, and
that's the balance.
Exactly.
I feel very sorry for moms who can't afford to have a helper, because that's hard work. Then you have to do
everything yourself, or you have to rely on family. And that's bad, because then family then starts to kind of resent your child. Because, like, my dad must see my child when he misses him. And my sisters must see my child when they miss him. Not because I'm like, I don't have anyone. Please, can you take them?
And then
constantly
they're tired of looking after him.
Exactly. They're like, oh, I like you again. Do you know what I'm saying?
The real thing here that impresses me, though, about you being such an instinctive, easy mother, and I think it's right to say that. I'm only judging this from the way that I've kind of seen you respond and the way you've got on with your life and the way that Alaki has just slotted into your life.
Yeah.
The reason I bring this up is because your mom's not around.
Yeah.
And there must be a part of you that is just desperate to ask her, Mom, what do I do here? Mom, what do I do there?
You know, my little sister's 21, right? Therefore, she's 10 years younger than me. And when she was born, my mom basically made us raise her, you know.
So you had an intro.
Yeah, I definitely had like an intro. And then there was always like, my mom would say stuff like, don't you dare bring a baby here. You're Zalapa, meaning go give birth there, you know. But then I never knew at which age, because parents are like that. They don't want you to have children. And then there's like the switch with all they want you to
all
do
want,
is
yeah.
have children. So I never knew what the switch of the age was. But my mom would always say, I don't want you guys to be like married with kids before 30. If you can just like live your lives and, you know, for lack of a better phrase, hoe around.
Until
you're like 30. And then afterwards, you can start making those decisions. So, I mean, in terms of like wanting to ask her things, I really always have the answers because, you know, my mother had a lot to say. Even when she was unprompted, she would basically say
where do you get it from?
Right. So I don't, I miss her because I miss that, you know, I like it has like a grandmother who's like that. But I don't necessarily miss her, be like, oh, I wonder what she would say because, you know, for 25 years, I listened to her, you know. So I trust me, I've got stock.
Okay, so you know, you don't feel like, oh, sure, there's some things that I'd want to ask her that I can't.
Because, no.
You know, when your kid's crying and crying and crying and you're not sure what the hell's going on.
You see, I think she's very present in the fact that she sent me a very quiet child. I like it doesn't cry.
Really?
He doesn't cry. Like, he just doesn't. Yesterday, Caesar called me and we're chatting, and then the next thing, Alaka was crying. Caesar was like, is that Alaka? And I was like, yeah. He's like, is he crying?
It's never happened.
Because Caesar's with us a lot. And he's like, that's the first time I've heard homeboy cry. You know, Caesar's like a dog. Yeah. And he's like, he just doesn't cry. Even this morning, because I was like, okay, we'll wake up at 6:30 and get ready. And then he woke up before me and he kicks me. Right? So now my back's to him. And then he kicks me again. I'm like, as this nonsense is kicking me. So I'm like, let me ignore him. Then he kicks me for the third time. And then I ignore him. And he goes, ah.
So he wants something.
Ah. And then I turn around. And then he like, you know, shows me his face. Like, I'm awake.
Okay.
He's not a crier. And he wasn't a colic child. He, honestly, even at the hospital, they were like,
how old's he now?
He's now 5 months. He does not cry. I think he's too lazy to cry. He's just like, that's so much energy, Mom. Like, surely you should just know what to do when I look at you. No, he is such a pleasant child. I can leave him with anyone. He doesn't cause nonsense. If he wants to sleep, he falls asleep next to you. If he wants to wake up, he kicks you a few times. So in that regard, my mom looked out for me because she was like, yo, I know Anele's got a little patience, so let's
Are you obsessed with, because you do, everything you do well. I mean, it's fair to say that.
Yeah.
You don't like doing half measures.
No. Then so I might as well stay in bed.
Are you obsessed that this child must grow up and be fantastic? Because if he's just an average kid, isn't that going to make you feel disappointed?
No. Do you know what? Disappointed. You know, my parents never expected, like, well, I'm sure they expected miracles from us, but the only way they spoke their language of wanting good things from us was just loving us.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, whatever you want to do, just tell us and do it. So people will be like, oh, he's going to be a rugby player. I'm like, or a chef, guys. Or
sure.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Anything.
Like, anything he wants to do. And I stress that to everyone. I'm like, anything he wants to do. I'm not fazed what he wants to do. He must just do what he wants to do. Because if he wastes time doing things to please me and his dad, then he's really going to waste his time. So I know he's going to be a fantastic child. And I mean, you name your child into being. And his name is Alaki Lizer. Like, he who shall build the nation.
There
I know
go.
He's going to do
wow.
that. You see,
that's
I know
expecting
he's
expecting a lot.
I know, right? But I mean, look at him.
This
he's got
nation,
teeth already.
You know how much work he's got ahead of him. Jesus.
Huh? Look, he's got teeth already. He got teeth at 3 months. So he's like, he's on a. Like, listen, Mom said I need to build the nation, yo.
Well, I like that you gave him a name that is portentous, you know.
Yeah, I had to, and it's not like something I mulled over or, you know, called the elders about, like, give Gogo the phone, I need to ask or something. I was just like, I like this name. And my dad's name is Patilisa, meaning run the nation, you know. so lead the nation more like. And I was like, it makes sense. They were born on the same day. You know, my dad's 60th Alake was born. So I was like, and Alake's personality is a lot like my dad. Like, very calm.
That's terrific. I didn't know that. That's it's a bit kind of spooky.
It is, though. Special. It is, though, because every time on my dad's birthday, he'll be reminded that I'm having lots of sex.
Well, that you had a child 9 months before you were having a lot of sex.
Do you know what it is? Yeah. It's like when I tell my dad I'm pregnant. So Tandile, my boyfriend, is like, when are you going to tell your dad? And I was like, listen, it's not that easy to sit my dad down and be like, listen, I have lots of sex.
Yes.
And now we have a child. Do you know what I'm saying?
But he must be proud now.
Very. Oh, my dad was very happy. He like drove to my house immediately. And, you know, my dad, he doesn't announce when he's coming to my house. Because he's like, but it's my house. Until you marry, this is my house. So he doesn't announce. He just rocks up. And I don't know how he does it that he knows I'm home. But it was just, the buzzer will go up like, hi. He's like, tata, vula. And then I open, and then he's just there, you know. So then he just came. He's like, okay, you need to tell me what you want to do, what your plans are, what you and Tandile are going to do. And then obviously he's like, you don't have to get married. Please don't do that right now, you know.
Okay, well, that was good.
No, but he's always taught us that.
A lot of parents would not be like that.
I know, no. My dad was always like, he's like, it's such, he says it's two islands, marriage and children. He's like, you know, it's like some people you're just meant to have kids with and some people you're meant to be with for the rest of your lives. Like, sometimes it's not the same person, so please don't.
Don't rush things.
Yeah, don't amalgamate the two.
Because also, I mean, you have such a respect. I remember I had a long conversation with you once about kind of Xhosa traditions and what you went back home to do, and I was fascinated with all of that because it was a massive spiritual thing for you as well.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying it changed your life and you kind of got back to basics with what and who you are.
Yeah.
And it's important to belong somewhere, right?
Very important.
Now that was interesting.
Identity.
Because that's traditional you.
Yes.
But then there's modern you who doesn't give a damn about any rules.
Yeah.
And I often wonder, like, how do you walk that line without offending parts of yourself and offending members of the family who expect certain things of you?
I don't think about it at all. You know, I do what I feel is right and just, I don't harm anyone and I'm kind. So I don't think about it at all. And I remember speaking to Zelda and she was like, you know, we speak a lot about my family and I was like, my dad's very traditional. He's very, very traditional, insanely. But at the same time, he's very modern. And she was like, of course he's modern because he wouldn't have raised somebody with a mind like yours and you're a woman. You know, you wouldn't be this outspoken as a woman if your dad wasn't modern. He's like, so that much is covered. But I get that he's also traditional. So then I realized it was so easy for my dad as well. You know, there was never this whole like, oh, there's this, and then, you know, oh, there's that, you know. We just do things, and they're supposed to be done. You know, we're in the Eastern Cape this past holiday, and we're slaughtering a goat, welcoming a member into the family.
Right.
And it wasn't like, you know, we needed a manual. You know, my older sister was like, you know what I'm saying? My older sister kind of knew, oh, no, this must happen, that must happen.
Yeah.
Anela, go do this, Temsa, do that. You know, you just do it because you know it, right? And at the same time, you know, you're busy cleaning the insides and you're tweeting. You're like, then people are like, and then clean the insides. You're like, oh, sorry. Then you're cleaning the insides and you're cooking it and you're outside, you're cooking outside and your phone's ringing. You don't ever be like, oh, this is traditional of me. I am now cooking on a tripod, you know, pot outside. Oh, my phone is ringing. Now that's modern me. You know, it's all the same. It's all the same, you know?
Yeah, it's you.
Exactly. You know, there's never moments when I look back, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, if something is not me, I wouldn't be there in the first place.
I think it's really cool that you can have both. And I do believe, like, life should be about having as much as you can.
I think it's important, especially for black kids. I always stress this, even when I do talks. I'm like, it's really important to be fully entrenched within your identity. Because forget that, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going speeches, forget that. But I just think that it makes you more interesting.
Someone said to me once, if you have a background, it's not so hard to imagine a foreground.
Exactly. And, you know.
And I think there's so many people in this country who grow up and they don't have a connection to their own parents, let alone their grandparents or their great-grandparents or any kind of idea of where they come from.
Mm.
And then other people inform them on how they should feel about themselves, which is not good.
Exactly. And that's actually such a big problem in the country. I just feel like, you know, you're so malleable to whatever anybody else says if you're not quite entrenched in, you know, what you feel. And you being, and I always say this to people, me being so like you know, steadfast and like steady where I am in what I'm thinking. Doesn't mean I'm not gonna listen to you. I'm gonna listen to you.
Sure.
My mind's not gonna change. But
no, you won't change your mind. Yeah. Shit.
I'm like, look, I'm not gonna change my mind, but listen to you, I will. Yeah. And when you're done speaking about something I don't agree with, I'm gonna be like, shut up, chip. Okay, I heard you, and then I'm gonna move on. You know, and that's why people are so scared with opinionated people, because they're so scared that it might change them. Like, you know, I might go to bed not being the person I was when I woke up.
But I love that. I would love to meet a person every day who would change me a little bit. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yes, not necessarily change you, but just teach you something
new
a little
bit. No, I mean
bit.
Change.
Like change you.
I've got a shitty idea about something. Like this morning we were talking about child labor, and I was joking. Well, I think, you know, that's not such a
what
bad thing.
What are you saying about it?
No. I was saying there's some little holes in the mines that only the children can get into to get the cobalt. And obviously I'm kidding, but let's imagine I was a person who really believed that.
Mm.
And I met someone who explained to me why it's a bad thing.
Mm.
And I hadn't thought of that before because no one had explained it to me properly and given me a good argument against it before. And I walked away going, you know what? I used to be for child labor. Now I'm against it.
Okay.
That would be a good positive change to my human self, to my idea of what the world is and how it works.
But it wouldn't make you like hate yourself and think you're any less of a being.
I would welcome it. In fact, that's the whole point of being smart, I think.
Yeah.
If you're smart, you change shitty ideas for good ones if the good ones come along.
Yeah, okay, I hear that.
You know, you might think, for example, maths is not important at school because you don't do well at maths. And then someone shows you how algebra really works, and even though it's never going to be useful to you in your life, the fact that you then understand algebra means that you've improved yourself.
I'm waiting for that day.
I know. I also never got there. But I'm using it as an example.
No, I see what you say. I do see what you say.
And change is good.
You see now, and if people who are so scared of it are rude people. They're the ones who lash out. They lash out and say like the weirdest things. And you're like, okay, you're going to have to calm down for me. Because like, just because you have to grow into something, it doesn't mean that we're saying that who you were is wrong.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why people hate to apologize as well, I feel. It's because, and I always say to my friends, guys, if I'm saying I'm sorry, I'm not saying I'm wrong for my entire life. I'm saying at this moment in time, this little thing I did was wrong.
Right.
You know, just this one.
And being able to say sorry about that one little thing is the right way to behave in an adult, mature society, you know? Like if you're a child, you don't say sorry. You're like, no, I won't say sorry.
Unless your mom forced you, like, Jonathan, say sorry to Jezebel.
Oh, sorry. But you
sorry,
don't really care.
Yeah. Sorry, Jezebel.
Now, you get a lot of heat for your opinions. You get into... No, I mean, not. You're not the most controversial person in the world, but you're certainly not the least.
Do you know what it is? I think I'm the most surprising, because, like, I smile and, you know, I'm happy-go-lucky and...
People think, oh, she's just funny and
she's
so
cute, great.
And
she's like,
lovely.
She's like... And then the next thing, you know, I'm like, whoa! People are like, yo! Where did that come from? And it shocks people all the time when I'm that straightforward.
But I love that, because you're also very engaging. You don't pull back. You know, when a lot of people... In an argument or a conversation or a discussion, whatever you want to call it, because to me they're all the same. Someone is sitting there and they'll say something that nobody agrees with, but everyone will shut up and go, except you. You'll say, what did you just say? That is some nonsense.
But then why?
I like
you're
that.
Not talking to a wall. Obviously you wanted a
what
response.
What are you sitting there for if you're just going to agree with bullshit?
Yeah, it's like you want a response. And I mean, I never have to see you again, but we're definitely going to engage on this little thing that you just said. Like, oh, yes, we are.
Right.
And you know what it is? Even on social media, you know, I'll say something and then something will start. I'm going to sit there and we'll, you know, There's gonna be a tennis match. You say something, I'll say something, you'll say something. I'm not just gonna say something and then like walk off because like,
no.
You know, because the Queen Supreme has spoken now no one, I'll respond to no one. And I like engaging with people.
And what I know for a fact about you that I wish more people I knew could incorporate into their own personalities is that you don't take things personally.
Nah.
So you have an argument with Sia about something, for example. Sia's very argumentative. So you argue with him. And the next day, it doesn't mean you're mortal enemies because you disagreed about abortion laws or about the DA or the ANC or the EFF.
Yeah.
People are so weird about this stuff. You can only be binary. You're either a yes or a no.
Yeah. You know, and I hate it sometimes because I forget that I'm in a tiff with someone. And then I see them, I'm like, hey! I'm like, shit, I'm angry at the sun. Has that never happened to you?
I don't manage to hold grudges.
No, but that's how I learned to just like let it go. Because I would forget that I'm like, this one wronged me, you know?
Oh, my Bali will say something horrible to me. And like 5 minutes later, I'm smiling and she's still holding on to it.
That you say something horrible to Gareth and you holding on to it?
No, because I would never say anything horrible to her. It would be the end of my career.
Oh,
Mubs is extremely tempestuous and forthright. Recently, she's been there.
Why would it be the end of your career? What? Because South Africa right now touches a move.
No, because we work together so long.
Actually, how long has it been?
Jeez, Mubs.
10 years.
8 years.
Eight.
Oh. I think it's more.
It is more.
I think it's more. That's longer than you worked with Grant.
Yes, it is longer. Because Grant and I, 4 years at Five, 2 years at Highfalt, and then 3 years at Tux.
So listen, Mubs was asking me earlier, because I gave her the history, that we went to the same school.
Yes.
We went to the same university.
Yeah.
We're at the same campus.
I basically copied everything Gareth said. I'm like, I stalk him, he doesn't know it.
And only really about the last couple of years did our paths diverge slightly.
Yes.
But you're having fun where you are now.
No, totally. Huh? Yo. But I mean, I'll have fun anyway. And that's just another thing. And I'm not like hell bent on being wherever I am at all times. Like, this is where I'll always be. It's fine. I'm here now. It's fun now. So I'm going to make the most of it now. And at all times, and I was saying this, do you remember Leslie from Leslie, man, head of radio at the SABC?
Oh,
shiny suit guy.
What was his position at?
He was head of radio.
Leslie, man.
Leslie, you know Leslie. You were in Leslie's office a lot. I'm surprised. It's like not knowing the principal when you're always there.
I really don't. I can't remember.
Okay, I was saying to him, because we're on the same flight to East London, and I was like, you know, because we're talking about radio, and I was like, you know what we radio personalities forget, especially when it's the drama and it's the politics and who's going where and who's getting what and who's getting fired. You know, you so forget that the only person that matters is the person listening, right?
Right.
So we always forget that. So, you know, the questions are like, oh, what's the difference between 5M and 947? I'm like, guys, at the end of the day, I'm talking into a microphone where people are listening on the other side. They've had a bad day. They have like a shitty boss. Mm-hmm. You know, they're making the biggest life decisions while listening to me. I don't care, you know, at which microphone I do this on. I just want to do
neither
radio.
Neither do they.
Yeah, exactly, right?
No, they
don't
either,
mind.
They're either listening for the song or they're listening for you.
Exactly.
But they don't care about the
exactly.
station. Who
so
cares about a radio station?
If you don't have fun doing radio in general,
right,
it doesn't matter where you go and do it. It will always be about something else why you're doing it. Always, always, always.
So what gives you the biggest thrill?
Biggest thrill?
There was someone come up to you and they'll say to you, you know that thing you did a year ago and you don't remember what you did a year ago. You don't remember what you did last Thursday.
I generally do remember stuff I do.
Because that changed my life.
I do remember things that I do on radio a lot.
You do?
But also because I'm the person who remembers lines from movies perfectly. Like, I can watch it once and then I'll just start reciting it. But I liked it because I like dialogue.
Give me
right?
Ezekiel 25:17.
As in the Bible?
As in Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
You see,
the path of the righteous man.
There we go. You see now, can I tell you? Pulp Fiction, me and Pulp Fiction
you
are
didn't
not
watch
friends.
It.
No, I've watched it, but in little bits that then together they make a movie, but...
but it's a
so I've never watched it one go from start to end.
Give me a movie line that's your favorite line. But it's got to be like quite a long one. I don't want some short thing.
Okay. A long one.
I'll start you off. I'll do Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, where? You can't handle the truth.
As good as it gets. He goes, where do they teach you to talk like that? In some Panama City sailor want a hump bar? Or is this getaway day and your last shot at his whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Okay, let's go with Face Off.
All right.
Okay, you know when they've stopped faces
mm-hmm.
and then Nicolas Cage then... But this is quite short, but I like it. He escapes from the
yeah.
And then he calls John Travolta, who's now taking his place. And then the phone rings. Hello, Sean Archer speaking. Well, if you're Sean Archer, I guess I'm Caster Troy. And then like mayhem starts.
That's beautiful.
What else? I know a lot. I know Meet Joe Black. I like Troy. I watch Troy once a week.
Oh,
you do?
Immortality, take it, it's yours.
Brad Pitt.
May they never forget we are lions.
Yeah.
We are menacing.
Have you ever read The Odyssey?
No.
Homer's Odyssey. That,
no.
That,
we're supposed to read it in high school, ne? But you could choose. You could choose Cry the Beloved Country, so I chose that.
Okay, now that was probably more relevant. But if you read the Odyssey, I mean, those characters, he fleshes them out so much more, and there's so much of a history to each of the characters in that whole Trojan War and everything else. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And you think
that
was written 3,000 years ago. It's phenomenal.
No, I love Troy. There's the thing with, like, the gods, they envy us because we are mortal. Yeah. You know, any moment could be your last. You will never be as beautiful as you are right now. Yo!
There's something about those Greek and Roman gods and the Egyptian gods.
Yeah.
They were so human. They were jealous. They were mean.
They were gluttonous.
Yeah, they would punish an individual human with a lightning bolt, or they would afflict them with a disease.
With a lightning bolt.
Yeah, they would do horrible things.
So it didn't start in Limpopo, guys. It's been happening.
It's been happening a long time.
It's been happening.
But the gods were so petty and small-minded.
But that's exactly what he says in that little thing, that, like, you know, we're not going to live forever. We're not perfect. We are flawed, and that's why the gods envy us. They envy that we're so flawed and that we, like, we live life to the fullest. And to me, it's just, it's so profound, that, because I believe that of myself, that I'm very flawed. But, you know,
at any given
time, I'm like living it to every corner. If life is like a room, I'm hitting every corner, Baba.
I love that. I love your energy. You've always liked it. You've always been like this, huh? You've never been a quiet sort of wallflower.
Yeah, but, you know, when I was younger, I'd like give myself a pep talk before I leave the house. I'm like, now you're not going to be jajara. You're going to be calm and demure and be like a lady. And then 5 minutes into it, ah, Tony! And I was like, you know what? You know, you must just accept yourself the way you are.
Yeah.
I'd be like, today I'm going to be like that. You know, like, because there was always that girl, so ladylike. I'm like, I'm going to be like that Mabaliko. She's so calm and she never breaks out of sweat. Because, I mean, I'm sweat. So I'm sweat 1000. Like, I sweat everywhere. I'm like OJ Simpson in the lineup. I am sweating all the damn time, you know. I'm a sweater, all right? I put my makeup on and then it's like... My makeup artist puts Mitcham on my forehead sometimes. So she knows. She knows. Kuti Anele, 2, 3, gone. You know what I'm saying?
There's nothing worse than being on TV and being sweaty.
But luckily,
people can see it straight away.
And then you just look nervous. Like, yeah. And then you look greasy. You look like
Jermaine Jackson.
Like
you work in a kitchen.
I was about to say, you look like you work in a cafe, a corner cafe. Hey, one slab chips there. Extra salt, extra vinegar. Oh, you want a Russian? You want a Russian? Okay, Russian! That's you, son.
Oh, wow. Do you think Alaka is going to inherit your sense of humor?
Yes, because I can already see that, like, there's naughty vibes there. But, like, he's trying to be fun. He's trying to entertain. So, yeah, no, he's definitely. But Tandile's dad's also got like a, it's a warped one, like a warped sense of humor, but it's still there.
It's like dark.
It's very dark. Like, he'll laugh at watching this comedy, and then this guy was talking about how, you know, when you think you recognize a guy, you're like, where do I know this guy from? You're like, we were in the waiting room at the abortion clinic together. You know what I'm saying? And then he laughed, and like, I don't think it's funny, right? So then, like, I like look at him and I'm like, sorry, why is that funny? No, it's not that funny, babe. Sorry, no. You know what I'm saying? So it's there, but it's very dark, very warped.
What do you do with social media when people give you shit? Like, if someone says something mean that about the way you sound or the way you look or the way you think, or they say something that's mean to you, how do you respond to that?
A, don't take it personally.
Yeah, really. But are you always able to do that?
Because
some of the comments are bound to, like...
No, but you know what I said? And I always said, and then I wrote it yesterday, because I was commenting about you. And I was like, you know the point...
What did you say about me? Uh-oh.
I said, people are very obsessed with Gareth. Like, and people are, but they don't know that they are, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, people are very obsessed with Gareth. And also, the point of being a broadcaster is to garner a reaction. Now... As a broadcaster, you can live on the bright side of life and want everything every reaction you get to be positive and complimentary and love you.
Never.
But I mean, that's a short-sighted broadcaster. Then you don't want to be a broadcaster. You want to be you want to be famous. Yeah. You want to be famous. Yeah. When you want to be a broadcaster, you understand that you garner a reaction, whether it's positive or negative. The fact that you have taken time to engage with whatever nonsense I'm saying, and now you're responding to it, whether it's positive or negative, that makes you a broadcaster. And then you must be okay with it. So now, yes, if I say something and then your only reaction is about my appearance or, you know, how I sound, your lack of evolution cannot be my problem.
I like that.
You know, I'm not going to take that on. It's not something that I'm going to piggyback. You know, I'm gonna look
you've
at
got
it.
Your
and
own
like,
shit to
yeah,
do
I'm it. Like, you okay? Then I'm gonna keep on moving. But I do appreciate you taking a moment to engage with me because you're saying I'm doing something right, and that's being a broadcaster in any sense, be it on TV, on radio, whether you write a book, you write an article. If you are to write an article and you put up on the internet and there's not one comment, not one.
Yeah.
That's
what's
a problem.
What, you know, what's it saying? What's it saying about
nobody
your article?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Well, Ricky Gervais even said, you have every right to be offended by anything, but just don't be upset when nobody cares.
Exactly. You know?
And there are a lot of people who, we had this conversation with Timothy Maurice yesterday, about how, because of social media, a lot of people are going on there just to be noticed, to be validated, to be... just to get a response because they want to feel like someone somewhere can hear them.
Exactly.
And I understand that.
And it's great. And I love social media because I think South Africans are the funniest people on earth, guys. South Africans are witty. South Africans are hilarious. And I like the fact that everyone's got a platform, right? But now, great. Please stick to your platform. Use your platform. Leave me out of it. Why now am I part of you? Do you know what I'm saying? What did I do? Like, you know, I must choose to want to engage with your platform. The same way you choose to, like, to tune into my radio show.
Yeah.
You can't come and be on me and, like, say things to get my attention. Calm down. Really.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do certain things. You're just not allowed. It's
but
my space,
but
right?
Now, here's the thing. Because... because you know, we did campus radio and then you did it for a while and you paid your dues. We understand the responsibility and the dignity behind having a platform, however small, or a voice, right?
Mm.
So as much as we get into trouble for things that we say, and people may not believe it when I say this, our nonsense is thought out. Like, it's thought out. When I say something and it's quite controversial, it didn't just come out of my mouth. I kind of planned to take it there. I wasn't planning on you being this upset about it. But I definitely plan to say it, right? And now people have got these platforms where they can say what they want to so many people, and then there's no responsibility to it, right? And then when the chickens come home to roost, it's like, oh, what's going on? It's like, yeah, but this is what was going to happen.
The funniest story I just thought of now, just looking at you, because when you smile, it reminds me of so many nights that we've gone out
good
and
heavens.
Misbehaved. There was one occasion that Randall often talks about where there was a winner of Idols. And
who came up to us.
And she, just please tell the story. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. This is my favorite story about Idols.
Okay. So now we're in Cape Town and we're at a party with myself and Randall. Yo, tequila's a flowing. And then this girl comes up and she's standing next to us. And then I kind of like, I'm like, I know this face. I know this face. So I'm like, hey, how are you? I'm fine. She's like, hi, Randall. Randall looks at her. You know, Randall,
he's very...
If I look at you, I'm saying hi. You know? I am acknowledging you. Just take the fact that my shoulder turned in your direction as a greeting. Hi, how are you? That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
So then, Randall's like...
Yeah, he just kind of looks...
So then, it. Now I realize, oh my word, it's Sasha Lee. Remember Sasha Lee who won and then was announced a day later that it was Miss Philippines and Miss and Colombia all over again.
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. It's my mistake.
I have made a mistake.
It's right here on the card.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is what went down.
Yes,
so a day
I
later,
her.
I think his name was Jason.
Yes,
he's not a
Jason,
pleasant guy.
Jason
ooh.
Hartman.
Ooh, nonsense, yeah. I'm done. So then,
really? What has he been rude to you?
No, I did a press conference with him and Kelly Clarkson. The arrogance on Papa. We're like...
Really?
You do realize Kelly Clarkson sitting right next to you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Kelly, you know? So anyway, now I realize it's Sasha Lee Davids. Somehow I know her entire name.
You know that.
But you see, I'm an Idols fan. From Fantuga, when Marius Brewster was there, me, I was there. When Penny Liviana was there, me, I was a fan.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, I know all these things.
Because someone asked me the other day to list the winners, and I was stuck after, like, one season.
I even know Anka. Anka Petangeli, who now performs for malls in Bloemfontein. I know her too, Baba.
She won, huh?
She did win. Puseletso came second.
I remember Puseletso.
She wasn't good at English, but she could sing.
Yeah.
And then Ayanda Ndlangothi was in Heinz Winkler's year. I thought she was going to win that year. Brendan October, remember him?
Yeah, okay. Some of these names are ringing bells.
You know all of them.
But
Randall had no idea.
So then, but now, you know that moment where you're trying to tell someone who someone is without the someone seeing that you're telling the other someone
who someone is? Yes.
So I'm like, Randall, you remember Sasha? And so then Randall's like, mm-mm. And now people think like Randall's like a wonderful person with me. No, he's just a rubbish. So he's not gonna be like, no, what, Baba? He's like, I'm like, Sasha Lee Davis.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then I'm like, she was on Idols. Oh, how far did she get?
Oh my God.
Then I look at Randall, I'm like, she won. And then I turn around and this girl's gone. I'm like, of course she would leave.
Yeah.
Well, of course she would.
Come on. And she was doing a reality show then with her and her sisters.
Oh, wow.
They were trying to be all keeping up with the Kardashians.
Right. Okay, now I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Right.
Very hot girl. Very hot. Good looking. Mm. Good looking colored girl.
So what's on the agenda for you for the year? I mean, you got enough. You got your hands full with this show, with Alake, with all kinds of other stuff. What do you have that we don't know about yet? What's coming up?
Well, I'm doing Clash of the Choirs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show.
It's a good show, huh?
Yo, I love that show. Do you know what? I won't tell any more of this, but I'll do it for free because of Rebecca. Everyone has to sit next to Rebecca once in their lives. She is hilarious, but like in a gospel-y way.
Are you joking? She's got a
sense of humor.
I always thought she was very like.
No, never. No, never.
Okay.
And then she'll say stuff like. Anneli, what is the meaning of a tattoo? Why do you want to tattoo yourself? I'm like, Rebecca, why don't you get a tattoo saying, I love Jesus? No, Jesus knows I love him. I don't have to use my body. Praise God. Hallelujah. She's an idiot. She's hilarious, guys. Guys, she's so funny.
Well, we've got to get her in here.
You actually have to. You actually have to.
Urgent priority, Rebecca.
I'll give you her number. She's
please.
She makes a lot of money. That woman.
Yeah, she does well. Gospel's good money.
I know. If I could sing, I would be hallelujahing my damn self.
But you can sort of sing. You can.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm on Clash of the Choirs, and then. You know, there's a talk show that they want me to do by myself, but also Tongue in Cheek is going to come back, but with like a refresh panel. And so I really want to do that because I liked it. I was supposed to do it last year, and then I fell pregnant, and I was like, I'm too bitchy to be on.
While you were pregnant, were you a first class bitch?
When I got to 7.5 months, I'll openly admit, I even stopped doing corporate gigs because my manager was like, ooh, the CEO's gonna hear it from you, so you're not. He would come. Owen would come to my gigs just to like make sure that.
Make sure you didn't.
Every year, because I'm like, you know, yes, somebody says something, I'm like.
But it's a horrible stage, right? Because you're feeling enormous and you're uncomfortable, and everything makes you uncomfortable. You can't find a position to sleep in. You can't find a position to sit in, right? Yeah. Everything's
and
stripped.
I was like a nice pregnant, you know. I didn't have complications. I wasn't showing until I was like. I mean, when I told people I was pregnant, that's when I was like, okay, let me tell people I'm pregnant now.
You kept it very quiet.
Because I hate advice.
Oh, okay.
Especially when yeah.
And isn't it annoying how people think that you need to hear from them and their suggestions?
Yes, because as soon as you now know that I had a lot of sex and now I'm pregnant, now my body's not mine, it's everyone's.
Yeah.
Then you're in a Woolies line, somebody's telling
when
you.
People touch you.
And also, like, people
they touch you in inappropriate ways because you're pregnant. They think
also,
they've got access.
It's such personal questions, right? Mm. You know? So was it planned? I'm like, hi. Stranger, let me quickly discuss my birth control methods with you. Do you know what I'm saying?
How dare you? Yeah.
Are you going natural or C-section? That is none of your damn business. How I am going to eject this little thing out of me?
So how did you?
I went C-section, but I was natural for. I was like in labor for 18 hours. Not feeling any pain, but apparently I was having contractions according to the nurses and the little machine.
You're like a superwoman.
Right, and then I was
so
like,
you were gonna go with the natural thing, and then it just went on too long.
And then Grant's mom, who's a midwife, because I was on the phone to her the entire time, she was, Auntie Kathy's like, Anneli, just cut it out because now his heart rate is dropping and you don't want to give birth to a child whose heart rate is like not great. She's like, no, just cut him out. Then I was fine with it. But women are liars. Okay.
About what?
About
well, we lie.
Yeah. No, generally, yeah. Snakes. Just like no one said, because there was a lot of things went down in that little room. I was like, whoa, hey, no one said this shit would be happening.
So they all said it's going to be beautiful.
I know it's going to be so whimsical, and like the journey of you're going to attach to your child, and then you'll never know a love like this before. Liars.
You're like pain and mess and ugliness and
no one shaving, like no one. I could have shaved at home, guys. Now,
oh, and then you've got somebody
shaved by the nurse, and I was like, this is a bit erotic.
I imagine Anela lying there with her legs spread wide open, right? And some other person
shaving me, and I was like, why don't you just give me the razor and I'll do it myself? What's going on here?
Did you have a full bush?
No, I don't grow a full bush, sadly. Like, I'm not that guy. I don't shave my legs. I don't grow hair. So it was, like, quite a nice and tidy one for someone who doesn't trim. But, I mean, still, guys, that's not the point. The point here is that some other woman came towards my vajayjay with a razor.
Yes, sir. I mean, you don't know. She could slip and miss. Or
no. She's done this for 30 years, and she's seen plenty of vajayjays before.
So
she knows. I think she could do to the eyes, like, done. But at the same time, for me, it's the first time that someone is there, you know, without pleasure.
What did you do with your hands while she's doing it? Did you cross them?
No. My one hand was on my cheek out of awe. You know when you're in awe? I was just like, this is something else. And then I took my phone and I was messaging my sister who had a C-section because she had twins, the bastard. And then I'm like, tell me, sir, at which point do you think that you could have told me that these people shave you? I'm like, no, man, no, 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 no. And then here's another one. Sorry, but gentlemen, you're going to have to deal with it. You know, because I thought I was like amazing after I gave birth because I didn't need to pee for like... Because I gave birth like at 9 at night. And then I didn't need to pee until the next day at 9. I'm like,
but didn't you pee all over?
And I was drinking water because I was quite thirsty. I had like 3 liters of water. I'm like, and I don't even need to pee. Hey, baby. And I'm talking to my boyfriend. He's like, yeah, you're amazing. Is there not a pipe inside my vajayjay that has been taking all my water and is now here by the bed? So in the morning, the nurse comes and then she's like, takes this thing. She's like, ooh, thirsty, hey? I'm like, what's that? She's like,
you got a huge piss jar.
She's like, that's your wee. I'm like, oh, you people. I thought it was amazing that like I'm drinking all this water and I don't need to wee. Meanwhile, it's been happening. No, guys, women are liars, eh? Liars.
It's amazing, it's beautiful, you feel the love immediately.
I love having you here. Listen, so we're gonna get together again soon.
Yes.
It's time we do a proper catch-up outside of here and where we don't have microphones and you can behave badly.
If you think this is bad.
Yeah. This is Anela being on her best behavior this morning. But I love having you here. I love you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Well done for producing such a beautiful little boy.
Look at him.
He's gorgeous.
Must hire him, yeah.
And you don't put pictures of him on the internet.
No, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going
to
take
a picture. But you know you have to tell people, please, magazines, don't take this. Do you know what? When I came here, and I was like, every time like I read like a gossip article like on Juice or Channel 24, whatever, and they always, the source is always you, like Cliff Central, right?
Yeah.
It's like, who said this about this? It's always you guys. So I was like, Tito, I must be careful what I say because these people, this is the platform they use to get like...
And you know who the leak is? It's Sia.
Is it?
Yeah. I was already sitting here like, how do I word Anela's birthing experience?
He's writing...
And the pee bag. How do I...
Yeah. The piss jar.
It's like,
let's get it.
It's like, oh, Paul Tuesday said she hates Trevor. I'm like, wait, Cliff Central. It would always be.
It all happens here. Listen, thank you for coming to talk to us. It's always good to catch up on everything that you're up to. Mm-hmm. And all the best for Clash of the Choirs for your show on 94.7 in the afternoons. And good luck with Alake. I hope he gives you some shit to deal with.
He's too lazy.
Well, look at him. Even now, he can barely keep his head up.
He's like, sleep.
Tired. All right, coming up next, Andrew and Rory.
cliffcentral.com.